This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, the great Michael Irvin has even been utilized, Kevin, to get the team up in recent history. Remember they did the big speech at the stadium, and he's sitting there in the 700-foot TV screen.
Wearing jorts.
Yeah, telling you. No, I don't think he was wearing jorts, was he?
I don't remember.
But he's yelling at everybody to get hype and get loud because this is the playoffs. And, you know, everybody got all sorts of excited about it. And Michael Irvin has always been the greatest hype man ever. For Mark Ingram, it was a great hype man recently for Lamar Jackson. And I'm trying to wonder, we're trying to figure out, 877-881-1053, who is the hype man for the Dallas Cowboys on a night like tonight, or on a night like Sunday, or on a night whenever it's playoff time? Now, Cowboys game Sunday is going to be at 3:25 kickoff. Shippy and I will be at Shark Club at 3 o'clock to be ready for that party for you. Also, don't forget, tomorrow, Kevin and I are at the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, so people in Fort Worth are like, when are you going to come to Fort Worth? Tomorrow we're going to be in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
So change your life accordingly.
Yes, sir.
All right, so are you still talking like Michael Irvin? I feel like you're trying to hype people up like that. So, you know, I was curious about that because who would be the Cowboys hype man? Like, if you needed a fiery speech, who would it be? Because I kind of...
Cowboy Stadium, can you hear me?
Oh, I'm getting all hype right now.
So
he's not wearing jorts. There's very tight jeans.
Thank you.
I think I might go with Tank. Just because if what Tank throws out on social media is emblematic of anything like what he's like firing people up, I feel like he's the guy that's going to fire the team up.
877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Who do you think the Cowboys hype man is? Is there something about Tank, though, that other than what he does on social media that you've seen? Because he looks pretty calm most of the time.
It really is primarily because of social media, because he talks trash. Like, I don't need the thing where you're like, this is a hell of a team. This is going to be a hell of a game. No. I need the hype level where you're like, people say that the Patriots are the best. Well, you know what? I think we're going to go out there and make them look like they absolutely suck. And who's going to be the best? We're the best. Like, that's the level of hype I need. I don't need complimentary hype. I need fake complimentary tear you down hype.
We just kind of talked about this a little bit right before Jason Garrett's press conference. 877-881-1053. Who's the Cowboys hype man? I think this week it might be
Brett Maher.
No, it's not Brett Maher. I think this week it might be the guy, and I think maybe in the future it's going to be the guy that it was for before the Detroit Lions game. Let's hear it from Michael Bennett. Whoa, if you ain't about that business, then don't come back out here.
I just want to throw out an idea. If we can get that beat behind anybody who's doing the hype speech, I think that definitely raises it like at least 50%. Because I think that beat really adds to the flow of it all. This makes me sad, but this is a really good point.
Hold on real quick, before we get to that, Kevin, you're not one for hype speeches.
Oh, there's nothing that beats me down more in the world than a motivational speech. Corey knows that. Once in a while, we have meetings, and he knows that after the first person, like if somebody wants to give a speech, we had a meeting, and I heard a really good speech. But then, like, the more speeches there are, I'm like, no, I don't want to hear any of this, and none of this makes any difference to me.
I even gave a really good speech, and Kevin was like, it was too many speeches, Corey.
You knew I was going to say that.
But
4 score and 7 years ago.
No, it's
as long
not
as that's
that
the first one. But if Frederick Douglass would have gone first, I'd be like, sorry, Abe, I'm out.
But with what I just heard from Bennett, like, he had some really, really good points that he made. Look, we fight for each other.
Your family?
Yeah. We leave our family. We fight through injury for these things. If you're not about it, then don't come back out here today. And that's the that stuff right there, man, holds people accountable. And I don't know, did you feel like that was a good speech, Kevin? It was the first one, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because he mixed in true facts with nonsensical hyperbole. I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. That is not a dig. Those are my favorite kinds of speeches. Like, I don't want a speech that goes out there and goes, oh, Las Vegas thinks that we're 6.5-point favorites, so it is unlikely in their eyes that we'll win. That's stupid. But, like, I also don't want you to just go out there and say, Tom Brady is a piece of ass. Like, I need some combination. You should be like, you know what? Nobody thinks we're going to win this game. Those people don't think we're going to win. The fans don't think we're going to win. Probably some of you in here don't think we're going to win. Well, if you don't think we're going to win, you need to get the hell out of here and quit the team right now. Like, I need that mix of you're going to quit football versus people don't think we're going to win. I need that mix of, like, grounded information and complete and total nonsense.
Go about, like, Dak, I started you against the Patriots defense this week. That's how much I believe in you.
That's right. And if we lose this game, I might quit football. Like, yeah, I need a mix of weird things. Like, if we win this game, we're going to win the Super Bowl. If we don't, we could disband or move to San Antonio.
What'd you think of those spicy nuggets?
No, not, it's not the kind of...
Is that a bad question?
Okay, depending on how good your speech is, I will allow up to one product placement. Okay. But that is only it. You're like, this is going to be the best experience I've ever had since I went to the get-in, get-out oil change spot. Like, I'll allow one product placement, and that's it.
Remember, wear your Cowboys jerseys to Albertsons.
Yeah, 10% off. We're going to kick 10% of their ass. And you're like, hold on. That's not enough.
We should kick more of it.
100%.
Yeah. Yes. See, that should be the sell. You're like, we get 10% off. We're going to kick 110% of their ass and then keep the leftovers. And you're like, I don't even know what that last part means, but I'm effing hyped.
Leftovers are good. I mean, if you like leftovers. But yeah, no, man, this is great.
It's
I love
Thanksgiving
it.
Time. Don't be a turkey, Corey. I can turn it into
anything.
Stay off
the tryptophan.
From the 361, Jalen was the worst, saying we're America's team. A lot of people are furious about Jalen. I've seen that pop up a number of times. They don't love the Jalen Smith hype speech. But a lot of people are saying that Michael Bennett has to do it again this week.
He's well, that's because Jalen didn't get that beat under
but don't,
him.
Don't you have to have the... He did have that beat, actually. Oh, no. Don't you have to have the like a different speech or a different message every week, though? Because maybe that's why they keep rolling different people out there. Keep
different product.
Well, not different product, Shippy, but you have to have something different to say. Because what he just said, can you say it again this week and now, and it means the same thing? Or does Michael Bennett say, you know what, I got something I want to say about this, and the passion's still going to be there, but it's going to be a little different message.
Only if he set the stage early. Like last week, if he would have said, this is it. This is the start. This is number one. Then I would want him back out there. And he goes, that's right. We're continuing on. Number two. And that's what we're going to turn them into, a big pile of, you know, like just something along those lines. You have to have a theme. And it didn't seem like he had an underlying narrative.
Jason Garrett, somebody said that he fired one of his bullets. And you only get so many opportunities to take that that chance and bring the team together and say, hey, I need y'all. Y'all need me. I need y'all. I'm not going to throw y'all under the bus. We're all in this together. He fired one. How many does Dak get? How often does Dak get the opportunity to speak, and when is the right moment for him?
I think two. I would argue two because, you know,
this might be the game.
Well,
this might be the one where he actually needs to step into that circle and say, all right, gentlemen.
Because this would be a monumental victory if they pulled it off. That's absolutely true. The only other team that's beaten the Patriots is a team a lot of people, myself included, thinks is the best team in the NFL. You get one, and then you can bring it back at the appropriate time. After that, like, you just love to give speeches. Let's face it. We've had people that are at this station or used to be at this station that love to give speeches, and you're just like, yeah, I got it. And so I say two.
Okay. All right, then. From the 972, like, if Frederick Douglass would have gone first, sorry, Abe, I'm out. Maybe my favorite line I've ever heard in radio.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where the Eagles are now feuding with the police. Great! We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're at the Eagle's Nest tomorrow, and we want everybody to come out and have lunch with us. You can start your afternoon drinking a little early with us if you'd like. Go ahead and start at 10 if that's what you want to do. We'll party with you. We're ready to see you out at the Eagle's Nest tomorrow. Come join us on. And Kevin, I know we got at noon, we got the quarterback edge, and we're going to debate who has the quarterback edge.
People insane.
So if you're driving to lunch right now and you're getting your morning started, make sure to hop back in at noon for for everything that you need regarding the quarterback edge in this game this week. But right now, let's go around the entire NFL, find the best stories in the NFL, and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Man. There's one that, holy smokes, with the Philadelphia Eagles, this is not good. So, you remember we told you yesterday about the shooting at the one game, the high school game, and yes. So they were going to allow them to finish the game at Lincoln Financial Field. And so you're like, oh, okay, look at Philadelphia bringing the city together. Well, Malcolm Jenkins, the safety for the Eagles, wrote an op-ed in the Philadelphia Inquirer that said in part, quote, "Nearly every time we hear a story of an officer abusing power, whether through violence or racist Facebook postings, the police union is there to defend the bad behavior. We need a commissioner who isn't lockstep with the union and who will instead push back when the union tries to hide and justify bad behavior."
Whoa.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Well, seeing as how that was against the police commissioner, guess what?
What?
The police union president decided to write his own letter, which says, in part, "Every time I think that the Inquirer cannot sink any lower in integrity and professionalism, they prove me wrong. They go lower still. Sponsoring a racist attack by a non-resident washed-up football player? Damn."
Wow.
That's Malcolm Jenkins he's talking about. "And trying to disguise it as commentary on police in Philadelphia shows why the only people who still subscribe to your paper are those who use it to paper train their puppies."
Holy jeez.
"Hurling slurs and false allegations against police officers does nothing in the way of improvement. Like other football players, they now do most of their running with their mouths. The character's proposals would leave Philadelphia as many crime victims as defenseless as his poor play has left his football team." Damn.
Kevin, we asked Jerry about the compromise and how you get how they've gotten a couple players to kind of do their thing in a different manner this year. And he said, you know, we try to do things as a team. And I don't know if you remember, but whenever we were at Oxnard, the entire team walked out arm in arm. It was Barry Church and Jason Witten walking out arm in arm with police officers.
Yep.
And
that was really cool.
And that was a signifying moment. And I think that's kind of the way they see the message should be, is we're all kind of in this thing together. Can we try and figure out how to work together rather than accusing and screwing this thing up? And listen, there are people that have screwed up on every side sure. of this. But is there a solution? Is there a solution without compromise? No. There has to be compromise. And that's the only way. And I love what the police, what the union police president said, but I also think now that's the bad, because you didn't compromise, you didn't come together on anything.
We've talked about this before. Anytime you throw a racist out there, it shuts the conversation down. So that is the one thing that I really wish the police union president wouldn't have done and said your racist statement, because then, well, why am I going to talk to you then?
In the 682, I don't know who burns Malcolm Jenkins more, Amari or the police chief.
Wow. Dude, I mean, that was strong. In good Eagles news, I guess, is we told you they were going to try to extend some of their core players. They've done it. They have extended the contract of Rick Lovato through 2023.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. You don't know who that is, do you?
It's Demi Lovato's dad.
He's a great singer.
No, he didn't have to go to rehab for, quote, exhaustion either.
Oh, he's a long snapper.
That's their long snapper. Look, if you would have told me that you knew who that was, I would have said you need to reprioritize your life and start spending more time with your friends and family, because that makes me sad. Guys, let's go to, well, I've got, no, that is not the person I'm talking about. Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had an MRI on his hamstring. Apparently, it is good news. He is now considered day-to-day. The Chiefs are on their bye week. Next game they have is up against the Raiders. So it looks like Tyreek Hill will not miss any time. They're still on the bye this week, but plan appropriately. It looks like Tyreek Hill will be good to go.
Will he still have that burst? Like, that's the thing. His top-end speed, when he gets over the top and Patrick Mahomes throws it as far as he can,
sure,
that's what makes them different.
This week, I would have said maybe not. Since they have the bye, I would say maybe yes. Let's talk about, Shippy brought it up earlier, the Cowboys are playing the Patriots this weekend. Isaiah Wynn is coming back. He was activated off of injured reserve. He's a 2018 first-round pick last year, and it looked like he was going to be their long-term option at left tackle. So he is back after missing most of the season with a toe injury.
Toe injuries aren't fun at all. No. Have you ever had your toe injured?
I guess not. I mean, I could see how, well, really, I was going to say an offensive lineman, really any football player, that would be problematic. So that's fair. Are you ready for the return of Derwin James? I had almost forgotten about Derwin James since he's been out all season.
Derwinism.
So it's not that. So he'll be the LA Chargers have their bye in week 12. And then it looks like he might be able to roll back after that. He said, I'm feeling well, feeling better, getting better every day. I'm just taking it day by day, but it's real close, real soon. I can say that. So then somebody asked, hey, will you play in week 13 against the Broncos? And he smiled and said, stay tuned. So Derwin James looks like he's on his way back. He was phenomenal last year.
San Diego.
Man, he's an amazing player. I mean, just an absolutely amazing player. That's why we wanted him so bad.
Absolutely.
So, you know, him being back out, I don't know how much it changes what they can do.
Well,
because have they fallen too far behind?
Probably so. And this is a weird statement. The Chargers last night released a statement that said Phillip Rivers is going to remain their starting quarterback. It's just the fact that I know, but it's the fact that they had to put out that statement that's troublesome. Though not as troublesome as this. Remember we told you about the saga of Monte Nicholson? That was the player, he's a player with the Washington Redskins, who him and one of his friends dropped a woman off at the ER and she overdosed and died. So he said he's cooperating with the police. This is what the police found at Monte Nicholson's house. Pills, weed, and, quote, foil with residue. Now, the
like barbecue sauce? Or?
It does not sound like that is
that's
what
usually the residue that's on my foil at my house.
It does not seem as though that's what they're insinuating, but the police did not expand any further as to what type of residue that is.
Maybe it was Chipotle.
No, you know what?
The kind of residue that comes from Chipotle.
Maybe E. coli.
I would be willing to bet is the type of residue that comes with maybe some harder drugs that is not just weed.
Like Robitussin?
Nah, what? Is Robitussin worse than weed?
I feel like it should be.
877-881-1053.
That would be a perfect question for our night crew. They would know the answer to that. But yeah, Monte Nicholson is looking more and more by the day like he is going to be in a really, really bad spot.
Yeah, he's going to have some legal situations that he's going to have to deal with.
Some scouts have said that Tua Tagovailoa could still be a top 10 pick. Then this narrative emerged yesterday that perhaps he should sit out the 2020 draft, not go back and play football, and just wait to rehab.
Here's what I would do. I would go ahead and go into the draft and look forward to getting on one of the teams at the bottom. Maybe you're in the lower area of teams that doesn't have a quarterback right now or has a quarterback that might be on the way out. Maybe you end up with the Chargers. Maybe that's the perfect opportunity. But you end up on one of those teams that has a couple years left, so you have time to heal up and grow in their system. But the team's already in place. You don't want to end up going to the Bengals. You don't want to be that guy because you have to heal and you got to now go carry that franchise in your first year. You want to be, if you have this kind of injury, because it's a bad injury, you want to be able to heal up completely, have time to learn in the system, and have a coach that's very patient with you, and the team's ready to rock whenever it's your turn.
The other reason I don't like this is the simple economics of it. All right, let's say he waits a year, he totally rehabs, everybody sees he's awesome. He'll be a first-round pick in 2021. Guess what? First-round pick, five-year contract. So that puts you under contract through 2025. Let's say he slides to the second round, or whatever. That's only a four-year deal. And you go now? That gets you out of contract in 2023. Think about it as the Jalen Smith method.
Yeah.
So Jalen Smith theoretically got through with his first contract 2 years before he would have otherwise. And everybody knows it's about that second contract in the NFL.
Kevin, the Tolos are totally in tune with everything involving Tussin and marijuana.
Oh,
972, even enough Tussin and some Sprite will get you right. From the 214, weed over anything Big Pharma puts out. We've been talking about big weed for a long time.
Yeah, seems like a lot of our audience did transfer from the night.
From the 214, extra strength baby Benadryl. So I didn't know that babies needed extra strength. Isn't that just adult?
I mean, you're not getting regular strength.
All right, back to football.
All right, who is going to play in the Super Bowl? Who do you think are the two favorites to be in the Super Bowl right now per Las Vegas?
Saints and Patriots.
Oh, fascinating. I would say the Ravens. However, the Patriots are a slight favorite over the Ravens. So in the AFC, it goes Patriots, Ravens, and then there's a giant drop-off to the Chiefs, and then there's an even more giant drop-off to the Texans, the Raiders, and the Colts. The NFC is packed closer together. It goes Saints, 49ers, and then a little bit of a drop-off. Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, and the Cowboys. The interesting thing about that is the Packers, Vikings, Seahawks, and Cowboys are all packed pretty close together. So the theory being is though 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all kind of fluid for the NFC.
At what point, Kevin, does the Cowboys, how far along can they go winning streak-wise that would change that? If they beat the Patriots, would that change?
If they win the next two. Because if you follow up, because the Cowboys' MO is they don't follow up. So if you beat the Patriots and you beat the Bills, and at that point, you're 8-4. So,
yeah.
I think that would be the time when they would be like, all right, I'm bumping you up to third.
Okay.
That's my betting philosophy. Guys, we told you yesterday about the finalists for best running back of all time. Remember, they're doing the top 100 all-century team, and for the coaches, 10 of the coaches get selected. Here are your 20 finalists. Bill Belichick, that's stupid. It should be 19 finalists for 9 spots, and Belichick's already in. Then Paul Brown. Then Guy Chamberlain, who coached for 6 years and won 4 championships. That's amazing. Tony Dungy, I don't know about that. Weeb Eubank, Joe Gibbs, Sid Gilman, Bud Grant, George Halas, Curly Lambeau, Tom Landry, need to put him in. Marv Levy, I'll be curious to see what they do there. Vince Lombardi, he's in. Madden, he's in. Chuck Knoll, he's in. Steve Owen, Bill Parcells, I'll be curious about that. Fritz Pollard, Don Shula, he's in. And Bill Walsh, he's in.
There you go, Kevin. The Cowboys have filled the void of Anthony Brown by signing Deonte Burton to a contract. I just got a scouting report from Brian Broaddus on him. Long, athletic guy, was a wide receiver in college, has traits, smart, and has some ball skills, has desired physical tools, and has some familiarity with scheme because he had been in Atlanta. So he knows the Dan Quinn defense, the kind of defense that they're trying to pursue here. So they went ahead and said, hey, we're going to bring you in right now.
I like it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, What's Wrong Wednesday, featuring Seriously, What the Hell is Charles Barkley Doing? 877-881-1053. What is he doing? You're going to want to hear this next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We might have a power hour on Friday with Brian Broaddus. I'm kind of looking forward to that because we used to do an hour with him back in the day, where we would do an entire hour of the show at 9 o'clock, and it was the most powerful 9 o'clock hour in the history of radio. And I'm looking forward to doing that again with him in the future. We'll see if that works out for us on Friday. But, Kevin, also tomorrow we are going to be at Eagle's Nest for lunchtime. So make your plans accordingly right now. Get ready to be at Eagle's Nest in Fort Worth. We're looking forward to being out there to drink. I'm going to drink heavily around the noon o'clock hour. All right, Shippy, you good with that?
Yep.
Finger on the dump button during the noon o'clock hour. But right now, let's do a little. Oh, actually, before we get into What's Wrong Wednesday, Kevin, I wanted to give you a quick update on Deonte Burton. Now, Deonte Burton is somebody that the Cowboys have signed in order to kind of fill the role for Anthony Brown. That being said, they'd lost fifth-round pick Michael Jackson in a move earlier this year. And so they could have gone, you know, to some of the other things they have on their practice squad, but they were like, this guy right here makes sense. And Broaddus sent us
quick. If you heard Garrett in the press conference, he said that they poached him, which I feel like is a good indication that they feel like they got a good deal. You know, they weren't like, we just signed him. They go, oh yeah, we poached him.
Yeah. No. The Broaddus says that he, you know, he's worked in Indianapolis and he worked with Eberflus, so they have. They have good information, you know, about what he can do there, plus what he did in Atlanta that helps out. So knowing that this guy might be able to contribute on Sunday against the Patriots, that'll be something really nice. But let's go ahead and dive into some What's Wrong Wednesday. Hit the music, Shippy.
So
whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's some really awful things happening in the world of sports right now. And it has to start with Felipe Vasquez. 877-881-1053. If there's a particularly troubling thing happening in your life or in sports you want to discuss, throw it out there. So Felipe Vasquez, we told you about this a little while back, that he was in some legal trouble involving potentially child pornography. And if this is possible to be a statement, it might be even worse. I don't know if that's even possible, but so he was facing charges related to sexual involvement with a child. Now he's facing 21 new charges that includes 10 counts of child pornography and 10 more counts of unlawful contact with a minor.
Oh.
So like we're talking about somebody who's going to go to jail if these charges are true for a really, really long time. Investigators seized electronic devices from his home and found photographs and videos of underage girls in various states of nudity. So he had pictures and videos of underage naked girls in his house, in addition to the sexual assault charge, the indecent assault, and the unlawful contact with minors charges. So, number one thing, I think that's what's wrong in the world of sports and in the world of humanity. Like, seriously, people?
I don't know what else to say. It's too rampant.
It's awful.
Yeah. And it's frightening. I mean, like, it actually is frightening whenever somebody has a little money in their pocket, you know what they're doing. Whenever somebody is in a position of power or in a position where they can flaunt what stardom they may have.
Yeah.
To get access to some of these types of things. 877-881-1053. Let's go ahead and you can text in to the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, What's Wrong Wednesday? And a lot of people already know, Kevin, this is actually pretty cool. That story right there is the absolute most depressing way to start the segment, Kevin. I will say that.
Okay, sure.
Because it's awful.
Sure.
And I hope that he's locked away forever.
This probably isn't the way to go either for Charles Barkley. Now, Charles Barkley was talking to a reporter about Deval Patrick, who is one of the newer Democratic candidates to run for president in 2020. And he had some nice things to say. But then somebody from Pete Buttigieg's campaign approached the group, and Barkley said he was a fan of Buttigieg. So a reporter from Axios named Alexi McCammond pointed out that he had already voiced his support for Patrick and now Buttigieg, and like, pick a candidate, which, I mean, you still got some time to go. You don't have to pick right now. And so Barkley told McCammond, quote, so I haven't heard an audio for this, so I don't know if it was like a Twitter DM or what happened there. Quote, I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you. And then when she voiced her...
Oh, and Barkley said that?
Yeah.
To a news reporter?
Yeah. So then when she said that wasn't okay, he said, well, you obviously can't take a joke. So what happens in situations like this where people say they're joking, right? You go back and you find other times where they said something similar to this to point out that maybe they don't joke, this is just how they are. So of course, somebody brought up a 1990 newspaper article where the Philadelphia 76ers almost lost to the New Jersey Nets. And at the time, Charles Barkley said, quote, this is a game that if you lose, you go home and beat your wife and kids.
Dude.
And kids. Oh, he went on. Did you see my wife jumping up and down at the end of the game? That's because she knew I wasn't going to beat her. Now,
that kind of joke doesn't work. That never works, though.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I know some people will go,
What locker room is that joke flying with any of your teammates either?
Oh, I'll argue it flew in a lot of locker rooms for a long time. And
do you think it does now?
No. No. And some people will say things were different in 1990. Maybe so, but that's how the way things usually work. If you say you were joking about something, people will try to track down other instances where you said something similar to that. So this is bad.
I will say, Kevin, and I'm going to be very honest, I'm going to peel back the curtain. A lot of times within our show and whenever we were doing nights with Colby and Reggie and Parker, like Parker would always be like, Corey says one thing off air every day that completely shocks me. And we joke around about a lot of stuff. And I wonder how often those kinds of things get taken in that context. Was it really a joke? And was it in good taste? Do you need to know your audience when you say something like that? Because I think that's the biggest deal, right? Like if my wife says that all the time, know your audience. Whenever you say something, like if somebody says something about somebody with a mental disability in front of my wife, and they make a joke about it. Her first reaction is, hey, my daughter, and hey, I work here. And, you know, so like those kinds of things, you have to know your audience when you're saying something. You can't expect everybody to take all the jokes the same.
By the way, I just watched Peanut Butter Falcon last night. If you get the chance to watch it, it's effing awesome.
Yeah, I heard it's fantastic. Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Has a wonderful performance.
He really is. If you get the chance to watch that, it really is absolutely phenomenal. I do want to touch on this one thing because this always comes up from the 817. Barkley said something messed up. It's under the First Amendment, freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. He didn't lay a hand on her, so therefore, why is she insulted? That is not how the First Amendment works at all. The First Amendment protects you freedom of speech from the government infringing on your right to freedom of speech. So, like, they're not going to throw you in jail or anything along those lines. It absolutely does not free you from consequence for that. So whether or not people who employ Charles Barkley want to do anything, that's perfectly their right, and it is not a violation of the First Amendment. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just letting you know I don't understand when somebody says, oh, freedom of speech. That is not how freedom of speech works.
From the 469, Daniel Tosh can get away with that joke, but not Barkley.
It is a weird... I would argue, like, because maybe he's a comedian, some people grant some more leeway, but not always, right? And somebody
We've
said...
We've seen comedians get destroyed for things they've said.
Absolutely. And then another person...
I think, again, that goes to knowing what your audience is.
Sure, from the 817. But it's not just sports, it's everywhere. But sports media is always quick to vilify athletes. But that's their job, right? This is not a general talk show. This is a sports talk show on a sports radio station. If this was like a general political whatever talk show, then I would go after all of those people if something like this came up. Like, our job is to specifically talk about things like that. I realize it happens in the rest of the culture. Corey said it happens in the rest of the culture. That's not okay either, but that is not what our job is to fix those other or talk about those other elements of the culture. All right.
From the 469, What's Wrong Wednesday? Why can't we at least get someone to come in and compete with Maher? Kevin, you've been begging for that for quite some time.
And that is
just
one,
to compete.
That is one of the things I don't understand about the Cowboys is Jason Garrett goes, Brad Maher has made a lot of big kicks for us for a long time. I want someone to follow up and say, which kicks? Or at least say, so why not put him to the test?
From the 562.
What's Dan doing?
What is Dan doing? From the 562, What's Wrong Wednesday? I'm a pool guy trying to clean pools with leaves falling and 20-mile-an-hour winds. Sorry, just had to vent. Hey, that's why we're here. What's Wrong Wednesday?
From the 972, oh, please lighten up. Okay, if you want a story that will lighten you up just a little bit, tell me what you think about this. Are you familiar with what they call some of the junior divisions of hockey in Canada and I think other places as well? They're called the midget divisions. So the term midget is being dropped from youth divisions in Canadian hockey because the governing body has aimed to be more inclusive. The lazily named Hockey Canada has said that they didn't want to, quote, put up barriers to keep people away from the sport. And the term midget is viewed as derogatory by a lot of people. And they said they got a letter from a parent of a young son last year who had dwarfism and didn't want to be on the team because he noticed a banner that said midget hockey. And he didn't want to be involved with that. So if you want levity, Hockey Canada is saying they will no longer use the term midget because it is pushing people away from being in their sport.
I love my little dudes.
From the 817, what's wrong is that the Stars are on a roll, but hardly any talk about them. You know what? You're right. We do got to fit that into our show a little more. Hockey Hawk, we have him right down the hall. We got Shippy right here. We have two experts when
That's
it comes
the Sweaters
to hockey.
Forever podcast.
And
that
the
we're
Stars
today.
The Stars are 11-1-1 in their last 13 games, Kevin.
Think
so we're talking
nine
hockey.
Straight.
Think about the dynamic of the Stars had the worst start in franchise history and then lost two more games after that. And now are unquestionably the hottest team in the NHL. How
the Corey
you go-
Perry effect?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but that is a remarkable effect. We should shut it down and give him the MVP right now if that's the case.
Yeah, Luka, Dak, and Corey Perry all sweep the MVP. And
all
Joey
right.
Gallo.
You're up next, Joey Gallo. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the question sure to infuriate people across the globe. Who has the quarterback edge in Sunday's game between the Cowboys and Patriots? It's obvious, isn't it? Isn't it? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.